Hey guys, welcome to episode 5 of the After Show with me and Adrian.
What's up?
We are back again with our favorite people.
Yep.
Are they your favorite? No. For me, they are mine.
Yeah.
Because you may be hating on them, Loki, and I do not know.
Actually, I'm hating on one person that's a dick.
So we have Eric and Kalunji back with us again for this episode. It's going to be fun. This one is definitely going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
You may not hear a lot from me at the start of the episode. I'm just going to come in later on with my own segment, which is called the Ivy Verdict.
Yeah.
We shall hear more about that when we get there. Mm. But I think, Adrian, tell us.
To kick this off, I think, like I already said in episode one, like what we're going to talk about today is like my favorite anime of all time. Like, nothing.
Do you know you've been saying that for every anime we have been talking about today? But my favorite anime.
Like, I said it like when I was ranking my top five, Hunter x Hunter is definitely my number one. So, like, I'm very excited of what we're actually going to talk about today, and that's obviously what Hunter x Hunter. It's not Hunter x Hunter, Eric, just to correct you, because you always say Hunter x Hunter. It's not Hunter x Hunter, it's Hunter x Hunter.
I thought it was Hunter x Hunter.
It's Hunter x Hunter.
Someone has something like that.
You guy, why are you messing with us?
It's not that. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, by the way. If you want to bet money on this,
we can look it up right now.
Yes, it appears Hunter x Hunter, but it's not pronounced like that. It's pronounced Hunter Hunter.
So what? X is silent.
Yeah, the X is silent. You'll embarrass yourself when you go to like those anime comic cons or some shit. So
nothing.
So to kick it off, obviously today we're here with our favorite people. There's Eric and there's Cristiano.
Yeah.
Cristiano, what's up, man?
I'm good. How
doing
been,
good,
man?
Yeah. Eric, what's up?
Talk to the people. My guy, I'm back. Adrian's biggest rival. I know he hates me on the podcast, but I'm here to stay. That's what's up. That's what's up.
Ivyzan actually hates you, but I know why you pinpoint.
I cannot hate my husband, boss. What are you saying?
You guys are not married.
Yeah, we got married. Remember the game we played the last time?
Yeah.
You're the one in the friend zone, my dear.
I have no problem with the friend zone. I have plenty of
these things were settled last time, so.
So getting into Hunter x Hunter, Cristiano, I think Hunter x Hunter is, it's not like one of like those typical like, it's like a typical shonen, like where we see obviously a young kid. He basically grows up on this island, and he's out to like become a hunter.
And he's out
to actually search for his dad. His dad actually like left him when he was a kid. Left him with his auntie. His auntie is called So they left him with the auntie on the island, and he has now set up for this mission to actually go and find his dad, become a hunter, meet new friends, and everything of that sort. So, Cristiano, to kick it off, I think, what do you find most interesting about Gon?
Gon
as an anime protagonist.
He was a very optimistic young boy.
Yeah.
He was always lively. He was always very happy from the get-go, right?
Positivity.
And I think that's testament to all shonen anime, because you know they are geared towards the younger audience. So they show us a young boy who is excited about life.
About life. He doesn't know about the darkness.
Exactly. They know nothing about the dark side of life. And I think that's expected for every shonen anime. For a protagonist.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Gon was like so full of happiness, so full of joy. I was so excited watching this because you could see... It's similar to how you could see Naruto, like, growing up, he's stubborn, he's happy, and basically he likes to make new friends and stuff like that. And this was very, very characteristic of Gon.
Yes.
But going out into the world, and I think he was actually given a mission by, not a mission, but his auntie told him if he could manage to capture a fish from one of like those, there was a lake around.
If he managed
to capture that fish, his auntie could allow him to go and take the hunter exam so that he could become a hunter.
Yeah.
And remember, Gon's dad left him at a very tender age. So he had these questions in his mind, and obviously he had he had the passion to become a hunter and follow up in his dad's footsteps.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
He wasn't ready for what he met out there, obviously.
Yeah, he wasn't. Mm. But I think we could see that from the moment he got that huge, huge, humongous fish.
Mm.
So I think that tried to show us that he was a young boy who showed promise of developing into someone great who was willing to take on any task.
Yeah.
So and I think that the way he got the fish and he was celebrated by the whole village.
Yeah.
That was something. And then the auntie, I don't know if that was the auntie, I don't know.
That's the auntie, the auntie was taking care of him, that was like the sister to his father, Jing.
For real?
Yeah, that's Jing's sister.
Yeah, because
Jing brought him back as a kid.
Yeah.
Brought gone when he was still a baby and left him with a sister.
Yeah,
and
told
her to take care of like the boy and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, and I think it's also, okay, this might be ahead, but I love how he calls the auntie mom.
Yeah. They were so close.
Yeah, they were that close. I think there was a real, real
connection.
Yeah. Bond was blood-like. Yeah.
Yeah, so Eric, kicking it off, obviously, going for the hunter exam and everything, going to set out in this new world. I want to become a hunter, but to become a hunter, obviously, you have to take the hunter exam first. It's a requirement for every person out there. It happens, I think, once a year. And Eric, I think you should first shed a bit of more light on the hunter exam and the story in that app.
Oh, okay. Gon, like you said, is a young boy who is all optimistic and, you know, thinks life is supposed to be good and easy and fun and all that. So, but the reason why he set out to become a hunter was actually because he wanted to understand why his dad left him for the role of being what? An actual hunter. But to be a hunter, you have to go through the hunter exam. So people around the world basically come for the exam, and then they are, examined by, can I say hunter heads or hunter
association?
The hunter association, but they have their own levels, similar to the, okay, it's not similar to the one of One Punch Man, but yeah. They are hunters with what? More experience than others.
Yeah.
Yes. They even have a council and they have a president.
Yeah.
Yes. So this particular exam for Gon is where he meets his friends. The three friends. Killua, Kurapika, and Leroyo.
Because you remember, the test actually starts when they are on the boat.
Yes, so most people did not know the test started on the boat. They thought they were going to the location of the test. The first examiner was the captain of the ship.
Yes.
They were supposed to survive the storm.
Yeah, they were supposed to survive. Okay, they wanted to see. I don't know what happened, but most of the other contestants panicked and they were freezing and
vomiting, throwing
stuff
up.
Stuff like that.
Almost. But
and
then Gon,
Leorio, and Kurapika. No.
All of them were there.
They were
Gon,
all? Yeah,
yes,
yeah. They
Kurapika,
were, actually, yes.
Gon, Kurapika, and Lyra. No, Killua wasn't there.
Killua wasn't there.
So, on the boat, on the ship, Gon, first of all, was the first guy to know the storm. So he told the captain, there's a storm coming, I can smell it in the air. So this guy was intrigued already.
Yeah,
other people were still there in the cabin, all feeling, you know, we got this, we are going for the test, we are buddy guys. But then there were two characters who were, you know, silent. There was Kurapika and there was Lawyer. So, but the first test, I think, was to determine why you want to become a hunter.
I think, yeah.
That was
yeah,
the
yeah.
first test.
That
so
the first
they
test,
asked
yes.
all of them, the captain asked them, why do you want to become a hunter? Although some people were at first hesitant to speak.
Yes.
Like Kurapika.
Yes.
Kurapika, he was purely a revenge mission.
Yeah.
Lyra
was
money.
Yeah.
He wanted money. But also he may have a sad story to that money.
Yeah.
Because his friend died and he wanted to become a doctor. But to become a doctor, he needed money to become a doctor.
Yeah.
Yes. Killua, not Killua, Gon. Gon's motivation was simply to become a hunter, to see what
to basically meet his dad, right?
No, his reason was not to meet his dad at first.
Yeah.
Was to become a hunter and understand why his dad challenged him because of being a hunter. Like, what is this role that you would leave your only son
your
for?
Your only son
so
for.
So that is what he wanted to understand. Yes, yeah, so they go to the first, after that, they go to the first exam site.
Yes.
And I ideally, it's not a straightforward test. That's what I loved about this app. Yeah, everything was not straightforward. Yeah. Actually, that's what got me hooked on this anime.
Yeah.
funny story. I actually started the anime in a very funny way. Shout out to Okabo. I know you're listening. There's a guy who wanted anime and told me to download for him. So I was like, but you guys, you always download and never watch. So let me watch one episode. End of the day, I'd watch 30. Yes, so bus test was a very awkward test.
What? Ah! Very, very.
No, the very first test was the one
they
to
were
take
being
you.
Asked questions, right?
Yes, they asked you a question. So yes. The first, I think, was a very unique question. In a situation of do or die, who would you rather save, your mom or your sister?
Yeah, I think.
It was a very weird situation. So, one guy, the other body guy, comes and says, ha ha, me. I will save my wife or my sister. Well, it was wife and mother, one of the two.
I think he chose the mom.
Yes, I would save my mom, but because it was an old lady who was doing that.
Yeah.
The pre-exam of sorts. So they walk through. They tell him to go through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but he didn't know that was actually a trap. The actual test was you don't answer. You're not supposed to answer because it's a very hard situation. Though Gon kept quiet and wondered, why shouldn't we answer? Then I was like, but in real life, you'll meet a situation where you will actually have to choose.
And
so that
it was at that point where we realized that Kurapika was the smartest of the three.
Yes.
And
Lyra
was
the hothead.
Yeah.
Gon was the kid learning.
Yeah.
But the sharpest guy was Kurapika. So they go through some other tests. Now they go for the tunnel test, the 100-kilometer thing. That's where they meet the rest of the characters. Okay. Most of the car. They met the first leader.
Yeah.
They met Killua. They met Hisoka. But the guy Hisoka.
That pervert.
Hisoka was funny meanwhile. The test of the 100 kilo. It wasn't like a 100-kilometer dash. It was just a race. So, you know, guys had their own theories. Why there was this car. There was this fat guy who was a tech guy. He was like, I have come with math and I know what's up. It's not like, it's like an actual exam, you know, they're retakers and they're first time.
Mm.
So some of the retakers were, like I said, the famous character, Hisoka. Mm. Now him, the reason why he was retaking is because he failed on the final stage.
Yeah.
And that is simply because he killed someone.
He killed an examiner, sir. He killed someone.
A group of people come from to revenge.
Yeah.
Apparently they had come to revenge. Mm. He tried to kill Hisoka. When they tried to kill Hisoka, that's when we see Hisoka at his... He disappeared and killed all of them. He used cards. He was like a card guy.
Yeah, he was a magician, basically.
You had the whole Joker kind of feel. Eh?
Yeah.
That creepy ass,
yeah.
proud ass, but his was poverty, so it was weird.
That guy was very good.
No, he was not gay. He actually, for him, what thrilled him or what turned him was the fight.
Yeah.
If a character is strong...
He
would feel it.
He
would make it. He make it such a pervy kind of way. You're like, bruh, fights are not supposed to be that sexy.
Aroused, like,
yes, perfect. He would be aroused by fighters with higher caliber than him or higher strength than him.
Yeah.
So
hold on. So I also think Killua was attracted by Gon's ability. Like, the man's raw power, you know? Not just because...
No, at the beginning, he didn't see the power. Gon was just like a kid who was just... He had not yet developed that rock, paper, scissors. Nothing. He was just there. Yeah. At the beginning, they didn't realize they had Ren, all those things. Yeah, so...
Going into, I think, the final exam, I think, was, like, sort of, like, a tournament where, like, they were fighting against each other. They were, the different characters were pinned against each other. Hisoka, Kurapika, Leorio, they were all able to actually get their hunter license and pass the exam. But Killua wasn't able to pass the exam. So,
for the same reason, Hisoka didn't pass the exam.
Yes, the reason why, I think, I wanted
to... Kill someone.
I wanted to ask Christian to actually give us... To give us a point of view from like Killua's perspective, because apparently Killua was he was manipulated by his brother Illumi to kill someone, and that's why he wasn't able to pass the hunter exam. So
I think you are right on when you said that he was manipulated by the brother to kill Omada, another contestant, and that would
disqualify him automatically.
So, and I think that had. Because I remember they were talking about family issues, and I think what Illumi wanted was for Kiluwa to go back home because there were some issues back at home. That I don't know if that's how I remember it.
It's an assassin family, and basically Kiluwa was looked at as like the next head of the family.
Yeah.
So I think the reason why Illumi was doing this, basically messing up, because the brother left, Kiluwa left like the place, and didn't want him to kill the assassin family.
Yeah.
But all these guys are looking at him because like, they see he has the capability and the potential to actually lead the family and be like the best assassin out there.
For sure. So
Illumi was just pulling the strings and making sure that this happened. Everything fell in line for
and that happened, and it enraged Gon, and we see that at the end of that arc he goes out to hunt for or to look for his friend Kiluwa.
Actually, that was the first time where I saw Gon was purely enraged, and that's the first time we saw his power.
Yeah.
When he held Illumi's hand and he broke the bone just by holding him while telling him, why are you making this guy feel insecure? Blah, blah, blah. He's our brother, he's our friend and everything. Why are you being all weird about it?
Yeah.
So when he held the guy and he left, there was a red patch and like cracked bones.
Yeah. So I think the guy's bone had been shattered completely.
Yes, shattered, not even broken. Because
yeah,
the hand
like
even
was a sausage.
Yes. So that's the first time we saw Kira's Gon's raw power. Gon took it upon himself to go and try to get his friend back on track.
We are introduced to the Zoldlik family. It's a very weird family. They stay in like on this mountain and
the whole mountain.
They stay in a whole and like to actually get access to the family, you have to go through a test called the testing gates. Each gate is really heavy, and to push the gate, it requires a lot
there
of
were
support.
Seven
oh,
gates,
there
right?
Seven gate.
Yeah.
There were seven gates.
There were seven gates, and each gate, okay, half the gate, on or at way the turn.
so
technically, to push one gate, you were like pushing two turns.
And they said there was some strange fact that Kiluwa was able to like push the gate.
Yes.
At
first, this guy had offered to take them through the normal way, but Gon was like, "Wow,
I
have to go through this."
And I want the experience.
I want the experience. So, and remember, his hand was broken.
Yeah.
Alright, so guys, first calm down. And I haven't been talking much, I've been listening to you guys. And funny thing, our listeners, I actually watched Hunter x Hunter, boss. And I just don't remember much, but everything they keep on talking about just reminds me of the anime a lot. And I know it's actually among my favorite animes. Because it had that almost pervy guy. I know it's among my favorite animes,
Hisoka,
but like
Mora.
Now look at this idiot. I haven't even yet
I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it.
Gabriel
I couldn't
is with us
myself.
Today too.
Hisoka.
This bum. Yeah. He decided to come late. We're going to have you for that. You know that.
We are.
So I was just coming in to introduce Gabriel, guys. That's all. You guys can continue with whatever you are saying. Gabriel,
diving into the Heaven's Arena arc. Obviously, the Heaven's Arena was certainly interesting. That entire it had that moto, you know, that Mortal Kombat tower, the tower where you fight like thing.
Yes,
yeah, so
yes.
it had that Mortal Kombat tower feel. So Gabriel, first give me a shed some light about the Heaven's Arena arc and what you like most about that arc.
I'd like to say the Heaven's Arena arc, like most level based or league based fighting systems.
Mm.
There was a very big, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but they join in very upbeat and excited.
Yeah.
Let's go try and make some side money to buy sweets and just have a good time.
Yeah. So basically, Heaven's Arena, Gon and Kiluwa were actually pretty good in Heaven's Arena. I think they skipped through like the first 24 levels. They were actually just beyond that level unless they learned about this power called Nen.
Yeah, so Hisoka doing that played into his character very massively.
Yeah.
He's a very mysterious, selfish, fickle character. So him warning them was sort of him saving them for himself. He wasn't being nice telling them out.
Yeah.
Because he stands in the way and blocks them, mm. and emits some very malicious Nen.
Yeah, some
like
aura.
Until you can see why you can't pass,
mm.
you're not ready for this.
Same
thing that took him there, I'd like to think, the challenge and the orgasmic bliss of a fight of a life and death situation. The man was very...
That man is definitely gay. But now that Gon is an enhancer and Kiluwa is a transmuter. So this is why they actually start training in Nen. And also, Kurapika at the same time also finds out that he's a specialist.
I think the biggest boost, not only going to the next tour, but for the entirety of the rest of the anime, comes from the introduction of Nin. I remember very clearly, it was a very dark, cold, quiet evening. Yebo was trying to watch Hunter Hunter. Power had gone, he was using the last bits of his battery. And I hear noise yelling. I think, what's going on? Only to check, and the man is blown away by the introduction of this concept. He found it
quite
very exciting. He actually has
New York City.
New York City. Yeah. Yes. Sorry. Names. No, the way they just flipped.
Yeah, they just flipped, and that wasn't the only place that they flipped. Yeah, they did it a lot throughout the anime, and it was very funny.
So, the whole point of why Hisoka went there for a challenge. Gon and Killua went there for curiosity to animate. But on every, once you reach the 200th floor and above, there were certain rules that had to be
followed,
otherwise you'd be disqualified. For example, you had to not lose 4 fights in a row.
Yeah.
Not even in a row, 4 fights you're out.
Yeah.
You're down, back, you have to start from the ground up. Hisoka had lost, I think, 3. But apparently, all the 3 were forfeited. So technically, he had not lost.
It was just that good.
Then there was this one guy whose record was 9-1. So when you reach 10, you verse a floor master and then you get
here.
So there was this guy of 9-1 and his only loss was that Hisoka. That's the first time where we are introduced to another member of the Phantom Troop.
Yeah.
The strings lady. Teacher's lady. So okay.
Machi.
Yes. So in short, the Phantom Troop were a group of people who felt they were too legit for the rest of the world. So they had their own lead, Hisoka. Hisoka killed that guy using some weird magic, and he was stitched back using the bell.
Yeah.
That's how they introduced her. That's the first time they introduced her.
Yeah.
That's when we realized that Hisoka might be part of the Phantom Troop. The reason why I'm mentioning the Phantom Troop is simply because of our boy, Kurapika.
Yeah.
Yeah, so while these guys were in the tower, Kurapika was also elsewhere learning about
Nen.
So these guys, when they left there, when they became hunters, they told them, you know what, you've successfully passed. But they didn't know that was just part of the test. The other second part of the test was learning about Nen. Yes.
Secret hunter exam.
Yes.
So guys, actually, the Heaven's Arena was actually interesting. I think I thought Eric, you'd be talking more about that Gon and Hisoka fight. Because remember, Hisoka actually took away Gon's, I think, coupon in like the first arc, the anti-exam arc. And actually, I think Gon took away Hisoka's thing and his tag. And Hisoka told Gon, I will only accept you to give me back that tag if you manage to land a hit on me. And in that fight in the Heaven's Arena arc, why Gon and Hisoka go up against each other, Gon used so many strategies and so many battle tactics, and actually he was able to land a hit on Hisoka. I thought Eric would actually shine some light on that fight. That fight was certainly interesting. But coming out from Heaven's Arena, now we're going to, I think, one of the most, I think that was my second best arc after that, the Chimera Ant arc. We're going to the York New arc, the Mafia family.
It was the best arc for me.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Same, yeah, it was also the best one, especially the ending.
Oh! Man,
you guys are putting Chimera Ant arc that low. But the York New arc was really dope.
We'll talk about Chimera when we come to it.
Cristiano, let's jumping into the York New arc. How we were introduced to the Mafia family? I think you should actually tell us more about this. The Mafia family, the Nostrad family, obviously. Kurapika is now in York New. He's out to get the spiders. And he actually becomes a bodyguard for this Nostrad family. You should actually shine some light about this and basically the Phantom Trooper.
So I think what Kurapika wanted actually was to meet the Phantom Troop, because they were, you know, and they were auctioning those eyes. What, Scarlet Red, something
Scarlet
like that.
Eyes,
yeah.
Dakota Clan.
Yes. So I think that was his main mission. to meet the Phantom Troopers who are going to bid for the eyes.
Cristiano, can you tell us a bit about Kurapika's motivations? Because we haven't talked about Kurapika's motivations. As a character, obviously we're introduced to him in the beginning, but yeah, we didn't know so much about what he's driving at and why he wants to become a hunter. So I think
it's definitely revenge. Nothing else. Yeah. From the get-go, from the very first, from the moment he meets Gon, way back, I think he tells them that he wants to get
revenge.
Yes.
For what exactly?
For the family, and I think it was like a whole race of people that were killed. Right?
By the
Phantom Troops.
Yes. So apparently these eyes were special. If I found out about this after watching the anime when I watched the movie. Yes, so the movie actually...
I haven't watched the movie.
Yes, so the movie actually talks properly about those eyes.
Okay.
These were special eyes that allowed them to see other things, and also the rage that they produced. Like, can I say, like, a power boost of sorts?
Yeah.
Yes.
Basically, the thing about the scarlet eyes, what I know with Kurapika's case, since he has the scarlet eyes, when it comes to Nien, when his eyes turn scarlet, he actually becomes a specialist. So a specialist, this category on the Nien system, which doesn't fall in any of
I think that's the seventh category Gabriel talked about, right?
Yeah.
It's the one.
And
yes,
specialists are really, really, how can I say, they're good, they're really powerful. For example, the leader of the Phantom Troop, Krollo Lucio Fraser, what a specialist.
Yes.
He has a technique known as the bandits of steel, something of that sort, and he can actually kill a bandit.
That guy, man. They had to put an ability like that.
So, actually, the anime. We got derailed a bit, but talking about the Mafia family.
Yes. yeah, so the Mafia family that Kurapika was working for had the Mafia boss had a daughter who would...
predict the future.
Yeah, who would predict the future. Who would write... Would you write the book?
Yeah. I'll say, yes. So, this Mafia family, or the Mafia head, people thought he was the one who had the power.
Yes.
Yet it was his daughter who had the power. So, his daughter was able to predict the future.
Yeah.
So, then the dad saw this as an opportunity to make money.
Yeah.
So, for example, Mafia heads or big leaders would call him and ask him, my fortune. Then he would sell his fortune. That's how he made his money.
Yeah, and that's how he became very relevant in the Mafia community, I guess. And that explains why he was always overprotective of the daughter. And
that is why
they
hired Kurapika. Actually, Kurapika is introduced because they were looking for bodyguards.
Yes.
Bodyguards to protect a certain client, but they didn't know who they were protecting.
Actually, yes.
But then Kurapika got wind of this, that this client was going to attend a certain auction where they were auctioning off the what? The Scarlet Eyes.
Yes.
That is why he got involved and went in for the what? For the interview to become a bodyguard. That's why we were introduced to the other lady who had that issue of hearing music.
Yeah.
And she would hear heartbeats and all that.
How was that a woman, meanwhile?
That was like a grandma. She was like a grandma to me.
Nah.
She was called Melody, actually. I remember that name.
You guys, she looked like a rat, first of all.
It's a ratatouille.
Man.
No,
man. It was not right.
Cristiano, your clue was certainly interesting. And yes. I think...
Here it is. These guys, they felt they could get anything they wanted. So, the head of the Phantom Troop, what's his name?
Krollo.
This is the first time Krollo had called for a meeting of the whole freaking troop.
Yeah. How many members are there?
There, I think, 8 or 9.
The legs of a spider?
Yes. There were eight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were 8 people, legs of the spider, each of them, with the number or the tattoo with the spider on it.
Yeah.
Yes, so this is the first time that the head of the troop had called for a meeting. So, this was the first time in a long time that they were going to be together. So, this guy simply wanted to take what they wanted from the Mafia. That's why he had assembled all the heads.
And Eric, talk about that iconic moment.
Yes. Okay, first say what you wanted to say.
Yeah, basically, Krishna is actually getting some shady details here, but...
No, not shady details. I felt like I was going to spoil, but...
Talking about the York New Arc, Eric, there was that iconic moment where the guy, what's his name? There's the short guy, Phaeton. You know Phaeton? Phaeton, the short guy. He's a member of the Phantom Troop. And also this other guy who actually has guns for hands. they actually took out like most of the mafia members. They stole like everything at the auction and left copies.
Actually, they didn't steal anything.
The whole point.
They didn't steal anything. They went there to steal. Then the mafia heads got wind of the fact that someone is coming to steal. So they sent their bodyguards. What were their bodyguards called?
Shadow something.
I thought these guys were bad guys. They were the bodyguards of all the mafia heads. They were bad guys. But there was one guy who could create a pocket dimension of sorts.
Yeah.
So he went in and then grab all the loot, which was being auctioned, put it in a bag and disappeared before the Phantom Troop arrived. So the Phantom Troop killed everyone. Then they used that Kabebu as a vacuum cleaner of sorts.
Yeah.
Pulled out all the blood, cool and everything.
Do you know all those guys had very unique
like
powers?
Like, unique that men powers. Like, ah! That's the first time I was like, yeah.
Guys, I feel Hunter is so long in that we have so much to talk about. But to dive into the Phantom Troop.
But the whole point, I think, what I wanted to say, the whole point of the Yoku arc, or why the Phantom Troop went to the auction, was for the guy. What's his name? The main guy?
Well, Krapika?
No. The lead of the Phantom Troop.
Trollo?
Yeah, to steal the mafia boss.
The ability.
The daughter.
The fortune ability.
The fortune telling ability.
Yeah.
That wasn't it. Or am I wrong?
I'm actually. I would have to remember.
That was. To me, I feel like that was the whole point of this whole. Their whole mission. If you remember very well.
But if he wanted, he could have gone and done that anytime he wanted.
Yeah, how though?
He was able to get the ability. Cause
he wanted to know his fate. And he wanted to know the fate of every single member, every troop member. Because after he stole that ability, he was able to tell. He used it on all the Phantom Troop as well. That's when Hisoka. What did Hisoka trick to them? Man, that arc was long.
Okay, guys, it's time for Ivy's verdicts.
So, Ivy, what do you think?
This episode has been fun looking at you guys, just looking at you guys and observing. Now I know who's coming in the next episode and who's not.
Elimination.
Yeah, I'm looking at you. Meanwhile, Adrian, your position itself is being questioned at this point.
Why?
This thing is going to be called the after show by someone else and Ivy.
Why?
You just know. So,
but I'm the brains behind it.
Pardon.
I'm sorry.
Say that again. Say that again. Even this is calling me madam. I'll be back in high school.
Ivy's verdict, as we called it. Ivy, what do you think about?
What I'm going to do for this segment of the show is I'm going to sort of like maybe analyze each and everyone's input into the show to see if you're going to come back for the next episode or any episode, let me say. And also I'm going to give a listener's view to Hunter x Hunter.
Much power.
You're saying what, Gabriel? I have too much power.
Yeah, I feel you like Abby has too much
power.
You must be
Okay, I think I'm going to just start off with the listener's view of Hunter x Hunter. As I said before, I have watched this thing, but I did not remember. I could not, like, really recall everything. And I know I'm supposed to be doing that so that we come on. Yeah, I know you guys want to listen to me talk, not these boys. I know that. But Hunter
come
x Hunter.
I'm very sure the guys out there will come here for the cultured opinions.
No, we don't want your cultured opinions, kid. At this point, people just want to listen to me. Look at him holding his hat. Be heartbroken. Anyways, Hunter x Hunter, from what I've listened, I was remembering things, of course, because I've watched it. It's proper nice. It's something that you have to watch. And looking at all these guys' expressions during the whole recording has been so crazy. Most especially Eric. Eric is like, I feel like there's a time when I was talking about him putting his hand up in one of the podcasts. That's how he has been the whole time. So it's definitely a must-watch if you have not watched it yet. It's a must-watch. It's a very old anime, 1999, I think. You definitely have to watch it. It would still give you the fun that it has right now.
Yeah, there are actually two versions. There's the original. It's a little bit longer.
Yeah.
It drags on a bit. A little bit raunchier for those people who like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then there's the newer one, which is the same thing, but a few episodes shorter. Dan is like
really
maybe 8 or 9 episodes longer. Really? But all that is just conversation and extra character development.
That's dope. Yeah. So I believe everyone should watch it. After this episode, at least you have to watch it.
So Ivy, you haven't given us a verdict for who.
That's what I'm going to next. Why are you rushing me? This is the reason as to why we are going to remove you. You know it.
All right.
I'm going to remove you, Adrian.
Okay. Point again.
Look at you. She has too much power from where? Okay, my verdict. Who should I begin with? Alphabetical order. Whose name comes first? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Eric.
I'm not part of like that.
No, my boss, you're part of the verdict. You didn't know. Because I'm going to replace you. Right. You know.
Okay.
So, Adrian, yeah, we have talked about you a little bit. You know my position right now. I may replace
Amanda,
so let me judge everyone else. Eric, you've been my light. That's all I can say.
Yes,
not because he's my husband.
Yes, you're already married.
No.
But no,
Eric is definite. No, you're coming back. A million episodes after this, you have to. Gabriel, look at you looking down. What are you doing? Okay, Gabriel came in late for this episode, but we still see he's fun and stuff. And stuff is the major bit that I'm focusing on, guys. But you're definitely coming back. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Kalungi. Let me see. I have to assess this one proper.
Okay. Kalungi stays at his phone.
What are you saying? You see, this is the reason why I'm going to kick you out, Adrian. This is the reason why I'm going to kick
like
you out.
This feels like the 40 seconds of
okay, definitely no. He always comes in with proper, like, info. We have to have him. We have to have him.
Every episode?
We have to. What are you saying,
say?
That?
What can I say?
We have to have him. Adrian.
Never in doubt.
Adrian, we are questioning your position here. So I'm going to choose among us these three to replace you. So you be there.
Ivy is becoming a dictator. But guys, it was really nice to actually listen to Ivy's verdict.
It's going to be back soon.
It's going to be back.
You see, this is the reason. He wants to chase me out already. Can you imagine?
This
is the reason why we're going to chase you out. But let's get back to the show.
Let's get back to the show, guys. Hunter, back to Hunter. Gabriel, I think I want to bring you in. Because,
That's where the whole Uvogin fight goes on. The whole Uvogin rampage.
Yeah.
That berserker of a guy. Insane.
Big
yes,
bang.
But at the same time, something is going on at the exact same time.
Yeah.
These mafias feel extremely certain.
Mm.
So there's some on all the fans they have.
Mm.
And they call the one person who could possibly save them.
In the pits of their despair, when everything was lost.
This guy is like, he's narrating. Guy's narrating.
They called the Zoldyck family.
That's where we see Kilua's dad and granddad,
Silva and Bang, coming in.
No.
Those are the guys from One Punch
One
Man.
But they have a cunning resemblance.
Yeah. And these two tag team and go up against the leader of the Phantom Troop, Chrono. Yes, so we get to experience both these beautiful moments simultaneously. Because...
Silver and
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we get to experience both these moments simultaneously. Because as you're experiencing the Silver and Chrono fight, you're also watching Bang... beat up these. You're watching him mince these who average so-called barons.
Yeah, first pause. I want us to first talk about the moment when the troop was coming to that hotel. That moment. I remember I was here. It was dark and I was screaming because of the orchestra music. That soundtrack.
They played
insane opera music.
Yes, and then you would see the Phantom Troop taking out like 8 people at once. Take out 8. They showed all of them.
And
that's the first time I saw all their
always,
power.
There's always a dope one-liner before moments like those. We've seen Gentlemen, Shall We?
Yes,
and this time
the Phantom
said,
Troop leader was like, you know what? Go wild.
And
then they showed around the hotel like explosions, cars, what, fire, everywhere, havoc they were wreaking havoc just to get to that hotel.
Like, yeah, guys, this is what I talked about earlier. This is the scream I had.
Yeah, Yoknyu was definitely exciting. And actually, you guys have also forgotten that that really good fight between Uvogin and Kurapika. Where Kurapika actually was able to kill Uvogin with his judgment chain.
I would like to say this was another moment of ultimate disrespect that we see in anime. Mm. Very disrespectful showing up to a fight with a shovel, with a spade. You show up ready to bury this dude. Prepared.
Actually, that fight was funny because Uvogin first lost it. That's why you chat. Because remember when they stole the match and then they came, then Uvogin was like, you know what? You guys, leave them for me. Yeah. Yes, so but then in all that commotion, Kurapika was able to actually take him down. In other words, he tied him and then ensured that there was nothing he could do. So when they caught up with when they captured Uvogin, these guys were in shock. Like, how can you even hold down this man with all his power? So after that, the troop come and rescue their bad day, but Uvogin was out for vengeance. That's the time when he was out for vengeance. That's where he went to meet. That's when he told Kurapika, you know what? Come and meet me in the desert. And that's when the fight went.
That's when Kurapika shows up with a shovel
and schooled him. Yeah, so Hunter x Hunter is actually certainly long. I feel like to talk about the Yoknyu arc, we'll spend the rest of the day here. But from the Yoknyu arc, we dive into the Grid Island arc. And the Grid Island...
Okay. Grid Island,
okay. Okay, Grido Island. Like, this guy's trying to sound Japanese, really. The Grido Island arc. And Grido Island actually has a real connection to, like, the entire thing I think Togashi was going for. Because, obviously, Gon is looking for his dad. Yeah, Togashi is the manga writer, the writer of Hunter x Hunter. So, this arc basically introduces us to...
Yeah, they are showing off Chila Chila. You thought we don't notice her.
It's all my fault.
It's not my fault. It's a manga readers. What can we say?
So, Christian is actually just about to bring you into this particular segment. And Gon is basically told by his auntie that his dad left for him a box or a gift. To find him.
Yes.
And when Gon finds this box and learns that the box is actually activated by Nen, and inside this box is a flash. I think it was a flash, a ring.
A memory card.
Wasn't it a tape?
Hmm?
No, there was a tape, memory card, and a player? No, it was a tape, basically.
Yeah.
But with a memory card. So what he did was he played the tape.
Yes.
And then the tape, because the tape was like, how can I say, the tape was the tape was coated or magic, basically. Such
Nen.
That, yes.
My such, G, Nen.
No.
Nen.
Okay, yes, it was based in Nen, like Gavin said, to ensure that once he finishes listening to it, it destroys itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in other he could not re-listen to the message. So it was basically like a set of, you know, answer, proceed, all that.
Yeah.
But then he's introduced to the memory card, and he finds that memory card belongs to a game called Grid Island.
Mm.
So Grid Island was a game that was made by Gon's father, Jing, and
yes,
a couple of his friends to ensure that all hunters can enter into a game and have fun.
Yes.
And have a self-discovery of sorts.
Eric, you had actually forgotten about this, but there was a certain gentleman who actually, like, his fiancée or his wife actually had an illness.
Yes.
And this gentleman had news that inside the Grid Island game, there was...
the rich guy, the billionaire.
Yeah, the billionaire. He had the news that there was a card that could actually heal his what?
Yes.
His wife. So... So he hired out a team.
Yes.
He was hiring hunters to actually come, and you get into the game for free.
Yes.
Like, basically, as long as you're able to bring back that card for him, and you receive a...
Yeah, he would also reward them with money at the end.
Yeah, money at the end.
Yes.
So jumping into Green, the Grid...
50 million each.
No, 50 million for the person who finishes the game.
Okay,
because
cool.
Remember, once you finish the game, you get one each.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So that's where we are introduced to other characters. Basically, this game was purely for hunters.
Yeah.
And then Gon didn't go there because he wanted to do some special thing. He went there because he was investigating his dad.
Yes.
But then they had failed to find the game itself. yeah. Because the game was so limited and this rich guy bought all the copies of the game.
Yes.
So they had to participate in order to get into the game. They yeah. basically went there simply because they wanted to play the game, not because they tried to rescue the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rescue the game.
And then one of the provisions to get into the game, you couldn't just show up, hey, I'm a hunter.
Let me do this joke game you have. No.
You have to show off your name.
You have to show an actual ability. So Gon and Kurapika first, Gon and Killua first went, displayed their average name that they have been doing all along, just take a small shot. They just them not good enough. You have
yes.
to actually you have to actually have
power.
A specialty. That's when Kurapika develops his electric ability. It was shocking.
No, Killua, Killua, Killua.
When Killua, I ruined it. I had set myself up for a very.
Kurapika,
when Killua shows off his electric ability,
he had to learn it. If that's when also go and decide, you know what, I also have to learn an ability. That's the rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
So, basically, the entire game, I want us to actually go through this Grid Island arc. The Grid Island arc, basically, they also meet a character known as Bisky. Bisky was this girl who could actually like grow her body into like. So that was like Bisky was like the teacher of Wing, which was like
very weird character, by the way.
that girl was certainly weird.
Very old.
Gon and Killua were able to learn more from this lady. She taught them more, and
yes.
I think Eric, one scene in like the Grid Island that we cannot forget was that dodgeball match. The dodgeball match between Razor. Razor was one of the creators of the game Grid Island, and Gon and Killua went to him. They had to pass him in a dodgeball match because they wanted to get a specific card from him in order to finish the game. And Eric, we certainly can't forget this scene.
Okay. So you've talked about that scene. Okay, so in this scene, during the game, there is no rule like teaming up. So, but then when people went inside there, they found out there some kind of, everyone decided to team up, eh?
Yeah,
such that, because you know,
that,
together we stand,
to
yes. So, but then there was this specific card that no one had achieved because he needed a team.
Yeah.
So, Gon comes up, there were some guys who were called, I don't know, they're always evil motherfuckers somewhere. So, these guys, there were guys who were killing people. Some of the rules
bombers.
Of the game is how you acquire a card is you kill the character. Then you get his card. So the bombers had grouped up and were taking people's cards.
Yeah.
So there's that one card they could not get. So these other groups that had teamed up realized that there's this card that you can't get. There's no way you can get it unless you team up. That's where it takes us to the what? To the dodgeball match.
Yeah.
So the dodgeball match, the first time they went, these guys are like, this mission is too hard. What? They flap and they left. Then the next one is now when they introduce us to the proper. It was almost like the tower thing.
The Heaven's Arena.
No, exam. Whereby you pick a spot.
Mm.
If you win, all you have to do is win 5 spots, 5 matches. You can play as many times as you want, but you have to just win 5. 5 or 8.
Okay.
Yes, but so like at the end of it is when we realize that there was one last game that this boy was like, you can't just win this in an easy way, no. That's when we see the real power of
Razor.
It was a dodgeball match whereby, you know, typical dodgeball rules.
Mm.
Once you're knocked out of the ring, you're out.
Yeah.
Once the ball hits you, you're out.
Yeah.
So that's when that guy has his... What power did he have?
Basically, Razor was like one of the creators of the games, and he was actually real powerful. I think he's one of like the strongest hunters in Hunter. And Razor's power, basically, he's able to... I don't know his affinity. I've forgotten his affinity, but he's able to use his main to actually materialize, like, how can I say, certain things into life. Like, so now for like dodgeball example, he was able
he
to
made
make a team.
Yeah.
He made a team for himself, and he was going up against Gon's team.
Did we tell you that Hisoka?
On Gon's team was Gon, Killua, Hisoka, and another gentleman. I forgot the name of that gentleman.
The final three were those three.
Yeah.
Gon, Killua, and Hisoka. We have not explained why Hisoka was in the game. Hisoka was in the game. He's always looking for a challenge.
Hisoka is always looking for a challenge. And remember
how the other arc ended, the troop arc.
Hisoka came into Grid Island under the alias of Kololo Sulfa, the leader of the Phantom Troopy.
who had been,
and the reason, yeah, the what, remember Corallo Silva had actually, because Kurapika was able to attach that judgment chain to his heart, his name was basically, how can I say, his name was blocked. So Corallo Silva and the Phantom Troop wanted to get a name or exorcist to actually get that curse off of Corallo. And Hisoka was basically inside Grid Island using the names of Corallo in order for like the Phantom Troop to come looking for him, something of that sort. So he meets up with Gon and Killua. They go up against Reza, and that dodgeball match I think was one of like the best moments for me.
Actually, for me, I was sad with how the act ended. That part of the act was supposed to be the finale of the act.
Yeah,
because how that act ended was when Gon went up against Bomber, and then he had to blow up his arms and all.
The dodgeball was starting to be like the climax.
Yes,
of the,
it should have been
the
climax.
Because it was really that good. We managed to see Gon's aura.
That's when we saw
at his primary. Like, you remember that part where he actually charged up and
he had to hit the dodgeball.
I think, Cristiano, this is something you also remember.
I remember it very well, but I would disagree with you guys that it should have been the final,
the climax
of the arc. The climax of the arc always had to be against a villain, and Bomba was the villain. And I think the fight between you guys
the fight was, you know, weak, but the in terms of action and intensity, the dodge match was better.
Yeah, that's true. It was, but. At the end
he was still going with Bomba thing.
Yeah, I'm still going with the Bomba thing.
Honestly, people talked about Bomba, but I did not see how powerful he was. For me, his inability and all that was just... It was weak compared to what we had seen previously.
It was underwhelming, yes, but he wasn't weak.
But also, we can also... I think I can appreciate how Gon was able to defeat the Bomba. In that, this is something we said in the beginning. Gon was really very clever. And you know, anime protagonists are actually clever. They're not like so skilled, but Gon wasn't so skilled, but he was clever in how he was able to what? To defeat Gen through. And actually, he lost his arm in the process. He lost his hand.
Yes.
And at the end of the arc and everything, they're able to get a card that is able to heal his hand back.
Now, by the way, there is one thing about those cards is that I didn't get what most of them did.
Like, each card had a specific ability.
Yes, that's true. They're only powerful inside the game. But the cards had very many... Okay, each card had a very weird name in English that... I don't know. I failed to keep track. You get... The only cards that I remember were the relevant cards. The cards that would teleport them.
Yeah.
The cards that would heal them. Such cards. But other than that...
We certainly have to dive into, I think, like the... You guys already said Yoknyu arc is your best arc, but the Chimera Ant arc was certainly like a personal favorite for me. Saw so much. There was so much emotion in here. There was so much build up, so much intensity. And looking at the Chimera Ant arc, I think it really had an impact on Gon and the storyline in general. Our two protagonists, Gon and Killua. We are introduced Eric to this new species in this zone called the NGZ.
It's practically a country or a state.
It's a country which
or a country in some continent.
Yeah, it doesn't have like technology. Those guys are basically
villagers. They have the rural
uncivilized.
They are not uncivilized. They are just in the rural setting.
In a rural setting, and there's this species, the Chimera Ants, that are basically a new species that they are how can I say it? They use I've forgotten the name of the process they use to actually produce.
They eat human beings,
but
born
no, not
with the
human
DNA
beings,
and then produce.
They
not
eat
them.
Different species, and they're able to actually produce
a new breed.
A new
gene of ants.
And they were looked
ants all have the DNA of whatever they're eating.
Yeah, and they were looked at as a real big threat by like a Hunter Association.
That apocalyptic threat level jazz. They can end the world.
And the Hunter Association basically, Kite was there. I think Kite is like a character who's introduced to Gon.
Oh, Gon accidentally was taken to Kite because he did not go alone.
You remember Gon? After Gon finishing the game, he thought he would actually the game
go
would
to his dad,
but the game actually led him to Kite.
No, the rule was. Jing told the guys that if my son wins the game and he wants to see me alone, send him to me. But if he wants to see me with someone else, send him to Jing.
Oh, so
that's how we ended up with Jing.
Kite.
talking
sorry,
about.
Sorry, with Kite, sorry. With Kite, yeah. That's how I ended up with Kite. Kite,
yeah.
So when Kite, when he met Kite, that's when Kite realized, oh, there's some kind of
resemblance between
him. Yes, and then he goes like, there's an invasion in somewhat. I'm a what? What are those guys called? Biology people study insects.
Yeah.
Okay. He was a hunter.
He was a hunter, but a hunter who actually is into research of animals. Yeah, and
so
and
he was
stuff like
there's a threat decide, let's go and investigate it. You can come along. Yeah. It looked like a simple task. Yeah. It turns out to be something.
But then it actually turned out to be a real huge task. We can see that chimera ants become a real threat. They start taking villagers and they actually start producing like mutations of humans and like different animal species.
Yes. Basically, and if he ate a dog, a cat, a human being, it would be a dog cat.
A dog cat, yeah, dog cat, yeah, dog cat, cat dog.
Yes, cat dog of sorts, yes.
So,
yeah, they did that. And then I think when they produced more knowledgeable chimera ants that could actually read. Human,
yeah, they could understand.
They incorporated some of the human
traits,
yes, like individuality,
personality traits.
Yes. Mm. They even gave themselves names. Mm. So it was very fascinating to see that they would develop from just being basic animalistic things to actually having the conscious.
We can see because the story mainly focuses about how Gon loses actually Kite. Kite is killed by Pito, one of the royal guards, and Gon is basically taken out of the NG, that neutral zone, the NGZ zone, because he actually sees that the threat is much bigger than they anticipated. So the Hunter Association, Yupi is actually called Yupi. I remember.
Yes, so there's Yupi, Pito, and Poof.
And Poof. So the Hunter Association actually sees that the threat is much bigger than they anticipated.
No,
so
not the Hunter Association. The government sees the threat is so big, so they hire
the Hunter Association.
To go and what? Eliminate the threat.
The chimera ants. And that's where we see Morel, we see Nov, and we see the chairman.
The chairman
of the
Hunter
Association coming in. Because this was real serious.
This was business. Real jazz. And this man was a 60-year-old nigga. And but
he was still
but you know anime level. Characters. The older they are, the more mugs.
And I just want us to talk about another important thing in that Chimera Ant arc. The Ant King, Miriam. I think Miriam was like one of the most broken.
Actually, I hear Miriam is one of the top 10 anime characters with the highest power.
Yeah, he was too broken. Like
level, that god tier threat, like to a point that for him a normal fight is
it's boring.
It's boring. So he was looking for challenging things. That's why he decided to play human games.
Yeah. So
he basically made everyone. He made his guards kidnap the best sportsmen of their category. So
like
if you're the best in chess, they kidnap you. Best in draft, they kidnap you. Best in any kind of game, they take you. So he beat all of them, and when he beats you, it's not a giant kills you.
And
that's when we introduced the game
called Gungi.
Gungi.
And there was the champion of Gungi was a girl named Komugi. Komugi and Komugi. Komugi.
Komugi school disaster.
I've gone back to the pronunciation of what? That's another English guy. So Komugi actually schooled Miriam's ass, and Miriam actually couldn't take the fact that he had met a person he couldn't beat.
It's like me and Adrian in FIFA. The way I whoop this nigga's ass.
I'm not even like he's
my rival, like any day rape just for Adrian.
So I think Eric, talking about I think another important thing in the Chimera Ant arc was Gon's transformation.
Power up. Actually, he was just the first time when you would see that Gon no longer care.
Basically, what happened
is that he used, I think, what they said that he used so much of his life force, right?
Mm.
He grew up. Mm. So that's Gon. Adult Gon, basically.
Yeah, he's called Adult Gon.
Adult Gon, when he's fully developed with all the powers, and when his name is just too much.
Mm.
Basically, adult.
The best he will ever be.
Yes.
The best. Yes, that's how they
like prime Gon.
Prime and full Gon, simply because he found out that what? Kite was dead and could not be
as nursing some fat. There was nothing sad about that, because that's what I wanted. I wanted to see, you know. So I was on Pinterest and I looked up I looked up Hunter x Hunter, and they brought that image of grown up Gon. And you know me being curious, I had to go and tap the image, and I read about it. So I was very anxious to see that in the anime.
Yeah.
So when I saw it, I was very, very happy.
Yeah.
I was not sad about it. What disappointed? Okay. No, okay, I wasn't like disappointed.
What I liked about that moment was the satisfaction of like seeing Pito being schooled, because she was so powerful.
Exactly.
And like I just like to just talk about one last thing. That was the fight between the Ant King, the Chimera Ant King,
and
Miriam,
Netero.
And Netero, the chairman of the Hunter Association.
So apparently these guys came up with a brilliant plan to take down the Ant King. So, but then when Netero realized that this is some serious threat, there was no way he would win, because the Chimera
that fight was really an intense fight. Netero did something.
That's first guy who Chila bruised the Ant King.
I remember his final ability, the Zero Hand, where he got all his aura. His aura. And used the aura against the Ant King. And that was able to bring significant damage to the Ant King. Though it still wasn't enough.
It was not even.
And that's where we learned that the Hunter Association really had some underhanded tactics. And they actually used a nuclear weapon.
Something that was triggered
by Netero actually killing himself. So when Netero was still alive,
was the effective bit.
The Ant King was still alive. And actually,
the Royal Guards came back. Then fed him, because apparently he fed on human beings to him. But now, because he was a Royal Guard, the Royal Guards were more. They had human blood. good shit. Yeah. That good blood is the one that was able to revive the Ant King. But slowly, the poison was effective.
Guys,
sadly though, Netero had to die as well.
No, I've been listening. It's been fun watching you guys this time.
Yeah.
I had my own segment. It's still fun.
Yeah, I loved your verdict. I definitely loved your verdict.
Yeah.
Yeah, so guys, it's been a lovely time with you all. Ivy.
As always. You say it. Say it then. 2 minutes. What?
Omar, after the Chimera Ant Act is the Election Act, which is so simple. Okay. This was basically because Netero had died, they had to choose a new leader.
Yeah.
That's simple. But also, they tried to incorporate a second story about the recovery of Gon. So that's when we're introduced to the fourth family member in the assassin family. The one who makes wishes come true. The most powerful one. But the wishes come at a cost. Like, if you wish for something, like, you pay. You pay.
Yeah. And if you do not, people die.
It was that simple.
Yeah.
Gon meets his father. In this episode, Gon meets his father.
Yeah.
But Gon met his father after he had been resurrected using the power of what? Silver Sister.
Yes.
Yes. Then the anime ends when they are on the tree, on top of that
huge
wall
tree. And then they show us that there is more. Yeah. Man.
It's been a lovely time with you guys. I know Hunter x Hunter is certainly long. We'll certainly talk forever, Ivy.
I see you. All of you are so excited to say something.
Yeah.
But don't worry, I've already given you a chance to come back next time.
Yeah.
Be happy.
Ivy, let's remind our listeners certainly follow us on our social media platforms, The After Show, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And Ivy, to listen to us on all our basically AffCloud, Apple Music, Anchor, Spotify. Guys, check out the After Show. It's going to be interesting.
And if you have anything fun you want us to do for the next episode, just leave it in the comment section wherever you see our podcasts. We are welcome to it. And we are just looking forward to seeing you again.
Yeah. For the next episode.
Yeah. Okay, good. Bye-bye.
See you.